Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, June 2nd, 2019. Preaching today is the Reverend Wendy Camori Stager. Her message is Preaching to the Nuns. The Old Testament lesson is Psalm 33, verses 1 through 9, and the New Testament lesson is from Acts 17, verse 16, and verses 22 through 34.
Great to hear these stories. Wow. Hey, even the Presbyterians, we can get into this witnessing thing. At the beginning, I think you all were like, I don't know, somebody else could do that. But amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. God, we come seeking you, wanting to hear your voice, wanting to hear that you have something to say that matters for what happens today, for what happens Monday, in our work, in our families. And so, God, send your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to tap us on the shoulder, and help us, nudge us toward the direction you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I loved about these testimonies is that everybody who shared in their own voice, right? You didn't have to go to seminary. You didn't have to whip out lots of scripture. It's people who stood up and said, God made a difference in my life, and God is still making a difference in my life. As we continue our series in the book of Acts, we've been talking about there are the times that you need to walk the talk. You need to be putting your faith into action. But that this Easter series, we're looking at, there are times that you actually need to open your mouth and speak and say and proclaim where God is and how God is alive for you. And indeed, most of the book of Acts is about that. A lot of the preaching and the sharing in the book of Acts are stories of how the news about Jesus, his identity as the Son of God, his death and resurrection spreads from this one city of Jerusalem across the Mediterranean. What I didn't know before I started studying the book of Acts for this sermon series is that really most of that preaching and sharing had been done in the Jewish temples. It's a time when the message about Jesus was still contained predominantly within the Jewish temples. And so most of the time, Paul or Barnabas would go and they would start with the people they knew. The text for today is different. This is the longest speech in the book of Acts that was delivered to a non-Jewish audience. So if you notice, the setting is Athens. The ancient city of Athens was a large city for its time. This is not some small little village. It was a university town, a place known for the philosophers such as Socrates. It's an intellectually vigorous place, a place of academic debate. And as the writer of Acts described it, it's a city full of artistic renderings of gods, that there are many statues. And to a faithful Jew like Paul, who has been taught not to worship idols, the abundance of those images was absolutely shocking. Some of the dominant streams of thought in Athens were the Epicureans. Epicureans in Athens were materialists. And they would say all of life is natural chance. It's coincidence. And that if you really want to live a meaningful life, all you got to do is avoid pain and maximize pleasure. And that God doesn't really make any difference in daily life. I think we still have Epicureans around today. The other group of people who were in Athens at that time were the Stoics. Now, the Stoics were the intellectualists, the hard rationalists. They were all about logic and analysis. Yet they sought to live in harmony with the cosmos and recognize that there was some kind of force that pulled together the earth and the stars and life itself. So Paul shows up and he stands on this hill called Areopagus, which is literally Mars Hill. It was a public, open-air, elevated hill, a place of public debates. And Paul stands up to talk to these Stoics and Epicureans. And he articulates that God is not this distant, I don't care about you, God, but a living, relevant God. And he was saying, you all are sort of seeking and attempting to worship. And in fact, some of you have even put up a monument to an unknown God. So you must have some openness in your hearts to God. But the God, as Paul shows, is not a God who is dependent on being visibly formed out of stone. God is not dependent upon human hands to make God or upon human worship. That instead, God is the God of the cosmos and the God who created and a God of power. And Paul says even more that God is knowable. Knowable here and now. The admission of God's knowability is also followed by a summary of what else can be known about God. God is creator. God is sustainer. God is sovereign, meaning ruling over all the heaven and earth. Benefactor. God is good and cares and provides for us. And God is a judge who cares intimately what is going on earth. The New Interpreter's Bible commentary scholar, Robert W. Wall, wrote this. We should also take note that while Paul does not cite scripture and uses language suitable for this academic setting and secular audience, the content of his theological summary is thoroughly biblical. It's a text in which, instead of quoting Old Testament prophets, Paul is quoting, "In him we live and move and have our being." That's not an Old Testament text. It's a text that the Stoics and the Epicureans of the time would already have known. And so Paul is using some of their language to talk to him about the God who he knows and he is preaching about. Well, for us today, in an era of less and less religiosity in the United States of America, and especially Northern California Bay Area, Acts 17 is a good reminder for us to reflect upon as well. I've heard your sadnesses about how the church is smaller than it used to be, about how the younger generation isn't that interested in worship. Even your own children and grandchildren that you perhaps raised in this place don't really go on Sunday mornings. And Community Presbyterian Church is not alone in this. It's a trend in the Presbyterian Church USA. It's indeed a trend in all mainline denominations. And it's a trend that's been identified as in the Pew Research polls. The Pew Research Center did a large study in 2015 and concluded that the growing trend in American religion is the rise of the nuns. Now, these are not the N-U-N-S. These are the N-O-N-E-S. These are the people who check on their box when you check for what is your religious affiliation. They check none. 23% of respondents. And it's the fastest and largest growing religious group in the United States right now. So who are these nuns? The nuns include the atheists, who believe that really there's nothing divine or sacred exists. And so human life is human life. It also includes the agnostics. Isn't that a great word? Agnostics are people who believe that God's out there but doesn't really have anything to do with human life Or that God's there, but God doesn't really care about humanity, and humanity doesn't have to care about God. The nuns also include the religious unaffiliated, which are folks who might have had some family connection to a faith, but are not practicing in any way, and would check that they admit to that. So if we, like Paul, are going to reach the nuns, how are we to do that? I've got examples from two large cities. One is the outreach ministry of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in the middle of New York City. They recognized that people were not going to show up and come to church and sit in a pew and worship. So they opened a space for people who consider themselves non-Christian and who are coming from the outside, but who are seeking and curious. They called it WS Cafe, and they started with a push from their pastor, Tim Keller. When they have these discussions in a cafe setting, they deliberately do not cite Bible or scripture overly much. They're talking. They're listening. And one time when they were discussing Jesus' sacrifice, they connected the story of love to the Pixar movie Inside Out, when the childhood character Bing Bing manages to sacrifice himself in order to let Riley out of the pit and on with the rest of her life. Using the language that the people understood. I was not with you on Mother's Day. I take that off every year. Thank you very much. And we were wandering around in San Francisco, and I found myself right across from the Ferry Building in downtown, and there was the First Presbyterian Church in San Francisco, which I went, I don't know the First Presbyterian Church in San Francisco. Turns out they're Presbyterian Church of America, not Presbyterian Church USA, and I went, oh, that helps. But of course, being the curious person I am, I poked my head in. They were in the middle of worship, but I picked up a worship bulletin. I was astonished because there were probably 20 footnotes in their worship bulletin. They managed to put footnotes in the bulletin for the things that people from the outside would not understand. So under the word doxology, they put their little, L, and they wrote on the bottom, literally, a word of glory, a praise to God. And under confession, where they had a little D, confession is an ancient tradition. It is not merely therapeutic or psychological. It is our self-understanding in light of God's presence. We corporately confess our failure. After this, we hear and read a word of restoration and forgiveness in response to our confession. Here are two churches that are intentionally recognizing that the people who we're talking to don't necessarily speak our same language. I'm glad that in our children's program we've been teaching Jesus Loves Me, because it's not a given that our children know that anymore unless we sing it with them. So I wonder how we, Community Presbyterian Church, Presbyterians on the corner of Georgia and Cedar, might share our story with the nuns here in Vallejo. I don't think it's about starting up a new program. And I certainly don't think it's about taking a Bible and thumping it on people. I don't think it's about standing on a sidewalk handing out pamphlets or the big sign that says, repent, the end is near. What I do think about is it's about relationships. Relationships with people. People we don't know already, people who are not the insiders, but people who are in our neighborhood. It's about making room in our lives not just to hang out with like-minded Christians, for this isn't our calling and purpose. We aren't called to be a church that is an insular Christian closed club. We're called to both know and love our neighbors and allow them to know us what it looks like is to then enter into these public places, whether it's the laundromat, the school, the drama performance, and to listen. And then when there are people who are seeking, because those human questions of why am I here, and what is life about, and what happens after I die, those questions don't go away. Those are human questions. And so when the time is right, and when people are ready, it's okay to share in the context of relationship how your life is different because of the grace of Jesus Christ, or the love of God, or the time that God whacked you on the head with a spiritual 2x4. In your own words, and with your own understanding, that's how we can be the ones who preach. Not out on top of a hill, Mars Hill, but we can preach on the corner of Georgia and Cedar, and let God take care of the rest. At the end of this passage, it says, some people listened. Some people said, we'll keep thinking about that. And some people joined in. What God does with the message is not your responsibility. But it is your responsibility to say where and how God matters to you. Let's do that. Thanks be to God.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.